John chapter 3, verses 31 through 36, as we finish out this section. Beginning at verse 31, the one who is coming from above is above all. The one being, that is the one who is existing from out of the earth, is from out of the earth, and is speaking from out of the earth. The one who is coming from out of heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, this he testifies. And his testimony no one is receiving. The one who has received his testimony has sealed, that would be the literal definition of the Greek word, sphragizo, but it means to certify something. To certify it, you put a seal on it. The one who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For whom God sent, he is speaking the words of God. For God is not giving unto him the Spirit from out of measure. The Father loves the Son, and all things have been given in his hand. The one who is believing into the Son has eternal life. But the one who is disbelieving the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is currently abiding upon him. Interesting words, interesting presentation. Last week we began at verse 22 as we left off from the Lord's ministry to Nicodemus and centered back on the ministry of John the Baptizer. As in John's Gospel, he will now exit the scene, but he has some things to say to us. John focuses on this incident that happened out where John was baptizing. The certain Jews came up to John's disciples and said, "How is this purification process happening here? Because all have left John and all are following after this Jesus, and they're being baptized by him." As we'll see next week in chapter 4, Jesus did not do the baptizing, but his disciples did. And so there became a dispute. And so they came to John about it. They say, "How do we handle this issue? All were coming to you, John, and we're being baptized. But since you introduced Jesus to everybody, everybody is following him." John gave the three principles of a humble vessel, a usable vessel. First of all, he says, no one can do anything in ministering or following Jesus Christ except to be given to them from heaven. So, who am I? If the Lord switches people from following my ministry to following the Lord's ministry in another way, so be it. Secondly, you yourselves are testifying to me that I said that I am not the Christ. Thirdly, he says, I am just the friend of the bridegroom. And I rejoice at the voice of the bridegroom, and I rejoice in seeing the bride and bridegroom come together. So I'm just the friend. I'm just the one to introduce people to Christ. He ended it off in verse 30 when he says, he must increase. It is necessary that he increases and that I decrease. Opportunity to share instead of being jealous or envious or defending himself because he once had hundreds, if not thousands, coming to his ministry for baptism. He now has only a few. He's basically saying, this is all of the Lord. It's up to him what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. Not up to me. Besides, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just a vessel. And he must increase. That is, the Lord's influence in a person's life has to increase and John's influence has to decrease. Not only personally, but in ministry. Once people are introduced to Christ, there must be ministry to teach them to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. The Lord's influence in their life must increase, and those in the ministry, their influence must decrease. But in verses 31 to 36, some English Bibles use quotation marks here, signifying that this is a continuing testimony of John all the way through to the end. Others do not put quotes around it, signifying that they believe that this is John, the Apostle John's commentary. In the Greek text, it's taken all in the same, verses 22 to 36, as the continuous testimony of John the Baptizer. Verse 31. We actually have two contrasts, one in verse 31 and the second one in verses 32 to 34. The first contrast is, John says, the one who is coming from above is above all things, all people. In contrast, the one being or existing from out of the earth, two things, is from out of the earth as far as source and perspective, and is speaking, secondly, is speaking from out of the earth. In other words, the Lord who is coming from out of heaven, he's over all things because everybody else, everybody other than Jesus Christ, because that's what this section is saying, everybody other than Jesus Christ is from out of the earth, and our perspective, our understanding, our view of things is earthly. It's from out of the earth. This is all we know. We have never been to heaven, and we don't know the things of God. The one and only, which has been the Apostle John's presentation as a thread through all of this, is that Jesus is the only one that has come from God. He is the only one that explains God. He's the only one that reveals God. Because He is God. So, comparing John to Jesus, John is saying that my existence comes from out of the earth as a source, and I am speaking from out of the earth. Jesus, on the other hand, the one who must increase and I must decrease, He is the one coming from out of heaven. So, everybody must go to Jesus. We have to listen to His word. We have to listen to His teaching, not man's teaching. It's not my revelation. It's not what I understand. It's what does Jesus say? He is the one that we listen to. He is the one that we follow. He says at the end of verse 31, the one who is coming from out of heaven is above all. In all considerations, one must come to Jesus Christ and His Word to understand the things of God. If a person has been called to minister out of the Word, either one-on-one or in a group setting, it's to minister that Word of Christ, of His person and of His teaching and what God's Spirit says through His Word. It's not to draw people to human vessels to follow human beings. But rather the whole purpose of the ministry of the Word is to direct people to Christ and His Word. Second contrast, verses 32 through 34. Concerning this one who has come from out of heaven, who is above all, what he has seen and what he heard, this he is testifying to. And no one is receiving his testimony. Obviously, that's a general statement because there are some who have received his testimony. But basically, in a general expression of how the Lord's ministry was received, no one is receiving his testimony. That includes all those people that are following Jesus now, that are now following him because John pointed to him. Because remember, even Jesus did not entrust himself to people who saw the signs which he was doing, and people started following him on the basis of signs. Even on the basis of John, some people say, hey, I bank everything on what John says, and John says to follow him, so that's what I'm doing. Jesus will not entrust himself to that person. It must be the person who has received the Lord's testimony and the testimony about the Lord as to who he is. And a person must surrender to Christ, not to a human vessel. To show you that this is a theme in John, if you have your Bibles, turn back to John 1:18. John 1:18. The text says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten or only unique Son who exists into the bosom of the Father, that one has exegeted or explained him." No one has seen God. The only unique Son who exists right now in the bosom of the Father, that one, the Son, has explained him. In chapter 3, notice at verse 11, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he says, of a truth, I say to you that what we know, we speak, and what we have seen, we testify, and our testimony you are not receiving. If I speak to you of earthly things, and you are not believing, how, if I should tell you of heavenly things, will you believe? No one has ascended up into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, who now is in heaven. No one has ascended up into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, who is the Son of Man, who right now is in heaven again. So, the emphasis of verses 31 to 36 is that Jesus Christ is the only one who has come from God, from out of heaven. There have been prophets, there are ministers, there are teachers, but every one of the prophets, everybody who's in ministry, is from out of the earth and speaks from out of the earth when they're speaking from their own perspective. Jesus Christ is the only one who has come down from God, and he is the only unique Son that represents God, that explains God. He's the only one. No prophet, no teacher, no religious leader has ever come from heaven, except Jesus Christ. And he has come as his Son, huios. It's a positional word. Technon is the Son by birth, but huios is a positional word. Someone who has been placed in position to inherit all things of the Father, which is what this text is introducing to us, is that all things have been given to the Son by the Father. He is the positional Son, the appointed Son, the one appointed to receive all things from the Father. So verse 32 says, what he has seen and heard, this he testifies, and no one is receiving his testimony. Here's the contrast, verse 33. The one who has received, it's an aorist participle, the one who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. What he's saying is, once a person believes the testimony about Jesus Christ from Jesus Christ, they are certifying that God is true and all else is a lie. He is also saying that if a person rejects the testimony of Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ, that that person also has rejected the Father, as John will develop more for us as we get into chapter 5. You cannot reject the Son and say you believe in God the Father. Religious groups throughout the world cannot say that they believe in God, but they reject Jesus Christ. You can't do that. Because Jesus and the Father are one. You can't separate them. They come together as a package. In fact, the Father, in chapter 5, John's going to say, the Father has given all honor to be given to the Son and all praise. All judgment has been given to the Son. So all honor, when we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. When everyone dies, they're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything has been given by the Father to the Son. Verse 34 gives us the reason for this, the one who has received the testimony. For whom God sent... This one is speaking the words of God. That is why sometimes I pray, when we're through with our meetings, that whatever has been said by the Holy Spirit from out of heaven concerning the truth about Jesus Christ and His Word, may God bless that and all human words and expressions that have come from a human opinion, a human position, may it just be wiped out. Jesus Christ is the one whom God sent that is speaking the words of God. Nobody else speaks the words of God. Nobody. If it's from the Lord and from His Word, they are the words of God. If it's from man and his perspective, it is earthly. From out of the earth. Again, another gar in verse 34, a second reason. Explaining whom God sent speaks the word of God. Now, this is a great theological text at the end of verse 34. For God is not giving unto him the Spirit out of measure. The Greek phrase... Greek sentence that means that God has given the fullness of the Spirit of God to Jesus Christ. Paul said in Colossians 2:9 that in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. All of God resides in the person of Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. That's why He speaks the words of God. Some people think that Jesus is a great teacher or a great philosopher. Even some religions, the Muslim religion, holds to the fact that Jesus was a great teacher, a great prophet. They even have in some of their mosques, they even have what looks to me like a treehouse, but basically what it is it's a place reserved so that when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, they believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they believe in His teachings, and they believe that He is a prophet of God. But they mix that with the rest of their religious beliefs. The religions of the world and the people of the world would hesitate to say that Jesus Christ is the only one who speaks the words of God. Because in Jesus Christ is all of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Not just a teacher, not just a philosopher, but God come in human form. God did not measure out the Spirit to Jesus. In Jesus Christ, God the Father gave to Him at His existence and coming into the world, all of the fullness of who God is. Again, that reference is Colossians 2:9 that Paul obviously is taking out of this document, this letter that has to do with presenting and ministering the deity of Jesus Christ. Verses 35 and 36 in conclusion. The Father loves the Son and all things have been given in His hand. Now, this next statement is not meant to offend anyone, but stop and realize that this is the truth of what God's Word is saying. Three times in the Gospel it's recorded that God the Father said concerning Jesus Christ, "Behold my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 calls Jesus the Beloved One. That is the person who is the object of God's love. We one day, according to Paul again in Ephesians chapter 1, we will be presented in the Beloved One, and therefore we will be accepted and received before God the Father. Now what is interesting is that God loves His Son. He also loves the world in that He gave His Son. But the reason why God's Spirit is poured out upon my life in blessing is because God loves His Son. God's love is demonstrated towards me in that He gave me His Son, whom He loves. So that while it doesn't say that God approves of our actions and God approves of our attitudes and God's Word does say that God the Father sees His Son in us. He doesn't see us. I will be received into heaven because of God the Father's love for His Son. And His Son is in my spirit. Therefore, I will be ushered in. It'll have nothing to do with my works. It'll have nothing to do with me answering up for anything other than if I have Christ's Spirit in my spirit. The Father will see His Son and I will be invited in. When the Spirit of Christ comes into a person's spirit, He is there throughout eternity, starting now in the life and in the life after. He never leaves. His Spirit is one with our spirit. So in essence, we're along for the ride. Wherever God's Spirit goes, we go. In the end, when God's Spirit and the Godhead becomes one again, we'll be there. Because wherever God's Spirit is, we will be. And then we get rewarded for everything God's Spirit does through us. Well, that's a good deal. He will also discipline us because we are His children and that we are His vessels to use. And when we become disqualified as vessels, He deals with us because He dwells in us to glorify Jesus Christ. All things have been given to in the hand of Christ. He is the head of all things. Everybody answers to Him now. Now look at verse 36, some very interesting language. The one who is believing, that's the present participle of pistuo, the one who is believing into the Son, showing action, currently has and will have eternal life. You have eternal life right now. But the one who is disbelieving, again, another present participle, but notice the word is different. It's not pistuo, it's apatheo, without persuasion. And notice the indirect object with this is tohuio, to the Son. So literally, if you put these two words together, the one who is disbelieving the Son. It's literally the one who is refusing to be persuaded by the Son. Instrumental dative. The one who continually refuses to be persuaded by the Son, future tense, shall not see life, but in contrast, the wrath of God, present tense, is currently abiding upon him. As Jesus said in John 3:16 to 21, that the one who is not believing has been judged already. They carry the judgment of God upon them now, even before they even have a chance to make a decision. Very picturesque. The one who is believing into the Lord, actively putting their trust and faith in Christ, has currently, right now, eternal life. But the one who is refusing to be persuaded by the Lord will not see life and has the wrath of God currently abiding upon them. That's John's final message, John the Baptizer, in the Apostle John's writings. He will disappear from the scene. But his testimony about himself, and then the testimony about Jesus Christ, this is exactly what the Gospel of John is all about, the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't just someone who has been sent from God. He has come from out of heaven and contains and dwells in him all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He is the only one who has come from God. He's the only one that represents God. He's the only one who speaks the words of God. And everybody is under judgment depending on how they respond to Jesus Christ. They either receive his testimony or they reject it. If you receive him, you are certifying that everything that God says is true. If you reject the testimony of Christ, in essence, the opposite is you're saying God's a liar. None of his word is true. But everything has been given into the hand of the Son. We answer to him. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is the one whom we serve. This has all been appointed by God. This is how he relates to us. This is the bridge that gaps heaven and earth. That God has revealed himself in the positional Son of Jesus Christ, the only unique Son. And our interaction with him depends on and establishes our eternity. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word that brings us the words of our Lord. Brings us the Word of God through the testimony of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we see that not only has Jesus saved us, but he is the Lord of our life. He must increase and we must decrease. We have not come and been sent from out of heaven. Jesus has. Teach us, we pray, to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ and his word. Teach us to point all people to Christ, not to church, not to ourselves, not to our ministry or our anointing, as we presume, but to the Lord. May we continue to submit to and surrender to the various circumstances of life that continue to humble us and break us. that continue to cause us to decrease and the Lord to increase. So that the ultimate function and goal in our life is to be effective for Christ. That we will not be disqualified, but rather people will see Christ in us and be drawn to Christ or reject Him as they see fit. Continue to give us understanding as to what You're working out in our life. Help us to see that You're not in our life in order to glorify us or make us be anybody important, but rather that others will see Christ in us and be drawn to His love. We pray by Your Spirit You give us understanding of these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.